I'm not quite as graceful at this as Paul, but I can't stand still, so I've got to have something in the middle. So I want to thank the Terrys, because Terry starting off definitely talks about what I want to, my message for today. So Paul asked me, when asked if I would do that, he goes, I want you to talk about what the church means to you. And the more I thought about what the church means to me, I realized I can't preach on that. Because when I think of church, I don't think of a what. I think of a who. So I can preach on who the church is to me, because a beautiful building is just a building without the people inside it that keep you coming back. So I'm going to take you, you know, through my life in the church with the people that have made an impact to me. I cannot remember any time of my life where the church has not been a part of it. My parents grew up in the church. And the first person I actually want to talk about is my grandma, Evelyn Seeley Starr. And the verse I have for her is, even though I am a free man with no master, I've become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. Now, Evelyn had six kids. My mom was number five. She worked midnight shift as a nurse and helped my grandpa with his dairy farm. But her amazing feat wasn't all of that. Her amazing feat was not that she got six kids ready in the morning and in church every Sunday. My grandma's amazing feat was that she drove the neighborhood picking up the kids whose parents didn't go to church and taking them also. And why is that such a big deal? One, we know that God wants us to bring people to Christ, and she did that. But one of the people that my grandma did that for became my dad. And because my grandma picked him up and took him to church, he is the godly man that he is today and raised me to be the person that I am now. So if you've had an Evelyn Seeley Starr in your family, or someone that picked you up and come to church, raise your hand. So, that's one way that we can be the body of Christ. The next person I want to bring up is Mittie Fox. Now her verse is, he commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, meaning the laws, so that the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their children. So each generation should set its hopes on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Now, Mittie Fox was about 4'10" and had glasses approximately an inch thick. Now, from the time I can remember her until the time she died when she was 92, she looked exactly the same, except she might have gotten a little bit shorter. Mittie Fox was a giant to me because she was my Sunday school teacher. That we could sit on Mittie Fox's knee and she would tell us story after story after story. And then she brought the Bible stories alive, and she brought the love of Christ into my heart as a little kid because she was a giant in my eyes. Now again, like I said, she got a little shorter and her glasses got a little thicker as she got older, but she never changed. Someone tells this story. When she was 88 years old, she was babysitting her great-grandchildren 5 days a week. And they drove by her house and saw her rolling down the front hill with her great-grandkids. Mittie taught me also that you're only as old as you allow yourself to feel. And that age is just a number, because I know 30-year-olds way younger than she ever was. But again, it was the Sunday school people, and that she was a Sunday school teacher to all of us. And we all loved her, and we would all run to church and say hi to Mittie, and she would say, you've got to stop growing. I'm going to put bricks on your head. To every child that came up, because we were all going to be taller than her. But it was that, anybody here have a Sunday school teacher that put the love of Christ into your heart when you were little? Okay. So the next person is another one from my childhood, and her name is Margaret Perquet. And this is her verse. Now, I'm taking the term orphan here a little bit, not literally, but pure and genuine religion in the sight of God, the Father, means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Now, Margaret Perquet, my dad also knew her growing up, was a member of our church, was a little bit taller than Mittie, and her glasses were not quite as thick, but also a Sunday school teacher. But what Margaret Perquet did was when I was 9 years old, my mom ended up in a hospital in the Cleveland Clinic for 10 days having surgery. And my dad would go between being in Cleveland and coming up here to work, and it was December. And my brother and I stayed at Margaret Perkett's house for a week. And it wasn't just that we stayed at her house, and she loved on two, you know, I said orphan, not quite literally, but two kids who were without their parents and whose mom was off in another city having surgery. She taught us our lines for the Christmas play and helped us memorize them. That was when all the kids sat up front and you all stood up, stood at the mic, said your line, and went back and sat down. Our programs are a lot more fun now, but you can remember those, right? But she worked and worked and worked on our Christmas lines. She got us crafts so that we could make Christmas presents for our parents. She got our costumes all ready, because even though you just stood there, for some reason you had to have a costume that fit into the theme. And planned our costumes and got all, and just brought us in so that we felt God's love through her and kids that were scared and alone. And thanks to Margaret Perkett, she always makes me think about Christmas plays whenever they come around, and the fact that you could feel the love coming out of this woman and helping these two kids memorize their Christmas lines. Does anyone have a Margaret Perkett in their life? Someone that just took you in and took care of you when you just really needed it? So now we're moving on to my teenage years, and the next ones are Scott and Kathy Orr. And here is their verse. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Now teaching these truths to trustworthy people, I don't know how quite trustworthy we were as teenagers. But Scott and Kathy Orr were my youth leaders. Now, yeah, that's okay. But Scott and Kathy Orr were married for about 3 months when our youth leader moved away. And we didn't have one. And they decided they'd stepped up to be our youth leader for the three of us. They didn't stop and think, well, there's only three teenagers, so why bother having a youth group? They didn't stop to think, we know nothing about teenagers, so we shouldn't do it. They didn't think about, well, we're newlyweds, so we need our time together. They gave their time to the three of us, to help us, again, feel God's love. One of my favorite things for them is we spent usually Saturdays, and what teenager wants to give up their Saturdays, but and went to churches of all different religions to see how they did things. Okay, I'm a country girl. We went to a Baptist church. Actually, that was a weeknight, and I had never seen a baptismal font before. I'm like, you've got a pool in the church? No, this is awesome. We went to the Greek Orthodox Church. Now that was really interesting. Was actually their Easter. So we got two Easters that year because their Easter calendar is a little different than ours. And in the front of their church, they had a picture of Jesus, and everybody walked in and kissed the picture and then went back and sat down. And even if you were late, you walked in and kissed the picture and went, so everybody knew you were late to church. But the love that those people showed us on Easter and giving us Easter eggs and teaching us about their traditions. We went to a synagogue and talked to a Jewish leader and were able to look at their traditions and look at what the Old Testament and bring that Old Testament to life by looking in the synagogue. And they just helped us to understand, one, where we fit in God's place and why there's different religions, because everyone has a different need. But they helped us to figure that out. Why? But not once did they say, we're a newlywed couple, we don't know anything about teenagers, and we don't have the time. So they took the time out for us and made us feel special. Does anyone have someone who took time out for you and made you feel special? Now the next one is Sherry Simmons. And if you know her, please tell her I'm doing this out of love. Her verse is, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy and cast out demons. Now, there were no demons and no leprosy. Sherry Simmons was our church gossip. If you wanted to know anything about anybody, you talked to Sherry Simmons. If you wanted a quick meeting and she was on the committee, it did not happen, because she liked to talk and talk and talk. But Sherry Simmons did something no one ever expected her to. When my mom got cancer and had to drive 2 hours a day, 5 days a week for 6 weeks to Ann Arbor for her radiation, Sherry organized the calendar of people to drive my mom so my dad could still go to work. And it wasn't a short day, a 2 hour ride there, 2 hours at the clinic and 2 hours back home. And she did it at least 3 days a week and organized the other two people. So my lesson here is that, you know, there are annoying people in our lives, and I won't ask you to raise your hand if you know some. But in the church, there is everybody. And there are Sherry Simmons in every organization and everywhere that you want to be. But that does not mean that they don't serve a purpose. And that when God calls them to do something and to help somebody, that they are not there. So don't count them out. Don't push them aside. You can, you know, kindly not listen to the gossip. But realize that, again, God has a plan for everybody. And then if Sherry Simmons were not there, the radiation that my mom had to have was on her neck. And no hospital in the Flint area would touch her. So driving to Ann Arbor was the only way that she could get treatment. And she was there when my mom and our family needed her. All right, now I move into this church. Now I would like you to realize that this list is by no means not everybody. But I had to pick a few that really stood out to me. And the first ones are Lee and Sandy Rosenberger, if you were here in the church when they were here. And my verse for them is, welcome him with Christian love and with great joy, and give him the honor that people like him deserve. So I had moved to the Heartland area and was looking for a church. Again, I grew up in the Methodist church, so that's the first place I chose. I walked in the front door and I sat down. And this couple, two rows in front of me, introduced themselves. Hi, we're Lee and Sandy. And I said, hi, I'm Becky. And they're like, are you here by yourself? And I said, yeah. And they said, come sit with us. And from that moment, from the time I walked into this church, I never felt alone. Because the first thing that someone said was, come sit with us. And it's been my church home ever since. So have any of you had a come sit with me kind of person in your life? Now the next one will make those of you smile who remember her is Violet Wilkerson. Now, as a new mom, with a baby who cried for 3.5 continuous months, I would bring her to church because I could walk in the door and I could hand her to Violet, and Violet would rock her and she would be quiet. And I got a few moments of peace. Because Violet was like that for every baby in this church. Now Violet kind of had about, she might have been a little taller than my Mitty Fox, but she was about this big around, and she rocked every baby that walked in these doors. And to me, as a new mom who just needed a break, she was an angel sent from heaven. Because I knew that my daughter was in good hands. I knew that I could sit here in the sanctuary, I could enjoy my message, and that she was safe. Has anyone here had Violet Wilkerson in their life? Or anybody here been rocked by Violet Wilkerson? Oh, I didn't say her verse. Her verse came from Ruth, sorry. Naomi took the baby and cuddled him to her breast, and she cares for him as if he were her own. All right, now the next one is Fran Worthman. She gets two verses. The first one is, then by the will of God, I will be able to come to you with a joyful heart, and we will be an encouragement to each other. So the story of the first time I ended up preaching was I felt God putting a nudge in my heart for a long time, but you can ignore it, or try to ignore it. And then Pastor Dave was asking Jeannie Miller, can you preach? And she says, I'm out of town that day. And I happened to be standing there thinking, oh, this finally got me. So I agreed to preach. And I'm standing in the back of the church that Sunday morning, and I'm shaking like a leaf. And Fran Worthman walks up to me, and she says, you know what? everyone in this room loves you and wants you to do well. And God is with you, so you have no worries. And my nerves just melted away. Because there was someone there that gave me encouragement and said that, you know what, you're here because God put you here and God put a message in your heart and he wants you to tell people. So stand up there and do it with confidence. And that's my first Fran Worthman. Because without her, I would have been a bundle of nerves the whole time up here. Now, the next one for Fran is, a servant of the Lord must be kind to everyone, able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Now, I don't know about the difficult people, but it was the end of that statement. But Fran is an amazing teacher, and to spend her life being a teacher, and that shows when she comes here. And in taking some of the first Bible studies, when both of us were fairly new to the church, Fran helped me to get deep into what I believed. She didn't teach or preach. She facilitated, she liked to call it. But in helping you figure things out for yourself and understand and learn. And it made me wish that I could have had her as a teacher when I was a kid. Because she really put that passion for learning and figuring things out and understanding in an adult-type Bible study class. So if anyone has had a Fran Worthman, an encourager or a great teacher, raise your hand. Now the next two, when I put them together, let me do their verse first. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. And the people I'm going to put in, there's many in this church, but I'm going to single two of them out. And they're Pat Schley and they're Mary Jo Malott. Simply because whenever there is something going on in this building, they are there. And they work hard. And when I look at them and think, boy, I wish I could do as much as they do. Now, I'm only slightly younger than them. But realize, what do I have to complain about? Because they're here with a smile on their face, doing God's work in this building, with the kids, with the turkey dinner, with the nursery, with the cleaning, with everything. And they work tirelessly for the Lord. And they're a great inspiration to me to say, I want to be like that. So if you've had a Pat Schley or Mary Jo Malott in your life, raise your hand. All right, now we're getting a little more general. Let's go back into our Ephesians verses. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together in the Spirit of the Lord. The people are what make this church. And when what is the church? I couldn't do it. It's the who is the church. It is the Gar and Jims with candy in their pocket and watching the kids run up to them and getting teased, trying to get a piece of candy out of their hands. And the joy on the children's faces as they go to do that is part of the church. Part of it for me was when Danny was little, she would run up to Jerry Burgess, and he would take his cane, and he would clunk it on the ground, and she'd run away laughing. And then she'd sneak back up on him. And then when he'd see her, he'd clunk it again, and she'd run away laughing. That's the church. That's putting smiles on the faces of the kids, making them want to be here instead of, oh, Mom, do I have to go to church? And making this part of a family that makes the kids want to come. It's Grady Allman coming with a trailer load of pumpkins. And it's pumpkin day and watching the kids get all excited to pick out their pumpkin at the hayride. It's the hayride. It's the furniture ministry. It's doing all those things that the men in our church do to make us the body of Christ. All right, our next one. The responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This is Sheila Daniels and her idea of the quilts and the women who come together to make quilts in the body of Christ. And the love and healing that gets poured out with every quilt that we make in every quilt that we tie. But it's somebody coming up with an idea that embodies Christ. Now, when we talk about the body of Christ, usually we talk about the people. But the people of the body of Christ have a body. And so that's Karen coming up with, hey, you know what, let's get together and exercise. Because, you know, we've got to have a good body for Christ. It's the women of this church that work tirelessly doing so many things that people aren't even aware of. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This is the work of our mission group at CAS and Mountaintop and taking the message of the Heartland United Methodist Church out to others and so others can feel our love. This is the work of the worship committee to decorate our sanctuary and to come up with meaningful items and things for worship that help us to experience God better. This is the work of the trustees to make the building a welcome place to come to. This is the work of the finance committee, who nobody wants to be on, to make sure that our bills are paid and our lights are on. This is the work of staff parish to make sure that we have employees for the church, that we have a pastor and a secretary and music. I'm going to safely say that probably everyone on this church has been on a committee at one point or another, or is still on one. And in the fact that we each have all of our many different talents that bring us all together into one body of Christ makes it worth it. So this is my message for who is the church, because I couldn't come up with a what. Because I've been in many different buildings and I've seen, you know, many different altars and many different stained glass windows, but it's the people that keep me coming back. So thank you.